Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. This Sunday, we welcomed guest preacher, Reverend Dr. Roger Nix. His sermon was titled, Everybody Has a Story. Here's Kathy Parkinson, Dennis, and Ramona Taylor with our scripture reading.
We're reading today from John chapter 4, verses 1 through 28 and 39 through 42. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?"
Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her,
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?"
Jesus said to her,
"Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
Jesus said to her,
"Go, call your husband and come back."
The woman answered him,
"But I have no husband."
And Jesus said to her,
"You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem."
Jesus said to her,
"Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
The woman said to him,
"I know that Messiah is coming,
who is called Christ.
When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us."
Jesus said to her,
"I am he, the one who was speaking to you."
Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. Many Samaritans from the city believed him because of the woman's testimony.
"He told me everything I have ever done."
So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. He stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know this is truly the Savior of the world." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It's indeed a personal privilege and an honor to share a message with my church family this morning in the absence of our pastor and family, who are enjoying and have enjoyed, it seems, a well-deserved vacation this week. Helping one person might not change the world, but it could change the world for one person. Such was the encounter of this unnamed woman of Samaria at Jacob's well outside a small village of Sychar when she met Jesus. This story is the longest recorded conversation of Jesus with anyone in the Gospels. In fact, John is the only gospel that tells the story of this woman. John tells his version of the gospel through personal encounters of people. He tries to personalize the people as well as personalize Jesus and make him seem more acceptable to people who were not really looking for this kind of Jesus. John alone also tells the story of Nicodemus in John 3 as well. Another example of how Jesus tries to personalize the relationship of the official religion of the day with the religious experience and spiritual experience that Jesus was trying to help them understand even better. The time and place of this circumstance and this conversation are very intriguing for a number of reasons. First of all, if you look at the context of the conversation, John sets the stage this way. He says he had to pass through Samaria on his way from Judea to Galilee. There seems to be kind of a dual meaning going on here in that, as it is true in so many things of John's gospel, he is trying to teach something, in this case, something geographically as well as something theological or spiritual. You see, the quickest way to go from Judea in the south into Galilee in the north was directly through Samaria. But because of all the hatred that was worked up between the Jews and the Samaritans over years and years of time, there was no way most Jews would ever go straight through Samaria. They would go around the long way. They would go across the Jordan around Samaria in order to travel to Galilee in the north. But Jesus was not, nor would he ever be, bound by the old hatreds and traditions of prejudice. So there appears to be this spiritual, theological meaning going on here, that somehow there was a divine imperative for Jesus to travel geographically this way so that there would be a divine appointment with this woman of Samaria at the well. That meaning seems all the more probable when you think about this passage and how it initiates a new phase of ministry for Jesus. Up until now in the Gospel of John, his ministry had been exclusively among the Jews. This journey straight into the territory of Samaria takes the gospel to the heart of the so-called pagan world where the need was the greatest. In the encounter of Jesus with Nicodemus, the chapter earlier in John 3, a Jewish leader comes to Jesus. Here in John 4, Jesus goes to an outsider, a woman at the well, and a Samaritan at that. Nicodemus, the insider, came to Jesus under the cover of darkness. And Jesus goes to the outsider, the woman, in the brightest light of day at noontime. There's got to be some meaning in that. Beyond the setting, the conversation is very interesting because it breaks down all the barriers of public conversation between Jewish men and women, as well as between Jews and Samaritans. You see, a Jewish man did not invite conversations with an unknown woman, nor did a Jewish leader engage in conversation with a woman. It was a scandalous thing for Jesus to approach the woman at the well and then invite her to give him hospitality and entertain his needs. And this particular woman is interesting as the character in the drama. The details of her life story are given in summary, yet much has been said about her character. I'm not sure we can back up much of our fanciful interpretation since we tend to add a lot of juicy Western culture type details which are not found in the original biblical conversation at all. Think about it. Isn't that somehow the way gossip gets started? A grain of truth with a whole lot of juicy details so that it would make the Samaritan inquire? The facts are simple. She had been married 5 times and was not married to the man with whom she lived at the time of this conversation with Jesus. We miss the whole point of the encounter in the conversation when we get a bit too imaginative about her character. She has been generally portrayed as a woman of loose morals who was the subject of well-earned and hurtful gossip, and therefore she had to go draw water in the middle of the day, probably because others would not associate with her and wanted not to be seen with her, and she was there in the middle of the day. We know what small town talk can do to a person, don't we? So therefore, she tried to avoid that. Fred Craddock, one of the dean of preachers for probably about two generations, has said of this woman at the well, The account of Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well is difficult to read because most of us have been so subjected to highly imaginative and biblically unwarranted portraits of her, which distort our understanding. Evangelists aplenty have assumed that the brighter her nails, the darker her mascara, and the shorter her skirt, the greater the testimony to the power of God to convert her. Even John Calvin got a little bit imaginative describing this woman in his commentary a long time ago. He imagined her to have been a difficult and disobedient wife who thereby constrained her husband to divorce her. The fact is that this Samaritan lady who came out to draw water by herself was not a person of loose morals simply because she had been married 5 times and was now living with a man who wasn't even her husband. The reality is that no woman in that culture could have even gotten a divorce. If this woman had had 5 husbands and now none, it meant that either the 5 husbands had died or 5 men had married her and then abandoned her by divorce, which was very common in that day. Here's the problem. Her problem was grief, not guilt. The conversation this woman and Jesus had about her life story led to her conversion, to a significant change in her understanding spiritually of who the Messiah was. And subsequently, not only was her change and her conversion significant, it also had a big influence on her entire village because they were changed as well, many of them. She speaks of water that wells up into eternal life. Jesus spoke deeply of that water. She speaks of worshiping at a particular location. Jesus speaks of worship in spirit and in truth. She speaks of the Messiah to come. Jesus reveals himself as the Messiah who is already present right here, right now, at the well in your tiny village. She is operating on kind of a surface level, like most of us do. Jesus is speaking of deeper things of the Spirit. And then somehow it finally dawns on her. She must be standing in the presence of the Messiah. To a lonely, abandoned, grieving woman, Jesus showed her, perhaps for the first time, that she really mattered, that she was a person of worth and value, and that the barriers that had separated people for generations from one another, they do not matter in the sight of God. He talked to her. He asked her to give him a drink. He gave her all kinds of affirmation, and it transformed her hopelessness and despair into a positive testimony and witness to the entire community that must have had some influence because they heeded what she said. What did it do for her? She raced back into the village and she said this: "There's a man out there at that well that listened to my every word, that seemed to really care about my being and who I am." There are a lot of things in this world that can bring about transformation and change in our lives. Education, books, people we meet, joining a 12-step program, enlisting in the military, getting married, having a baby, terminal illness, rejection, judgment, acceptance, forgiveness, inclusiveness. All of those things can have a great impact on our lives. But one thing I have noticed in my years of living is that it's certain, I believe, and that is that a genuine encounter with Jesus changes the water of the old life into the wine of the new. And that's what these first Christians were discovering. That's the truth on which the disciples' faith was based as they saw it lived out in Jesus every day. That's the truth on which the church was built and has stood all these centuries, even when it has tended to get caught in the traps of tradition or chasing rabbits of hope packaged in the prosperity gospel. In my 27 years of consulting and coaching and ministering with Baptist churches, I observed one very disturbing common thread that was sewn into the fabric of the DNA of churches, and that's this: churches tend to avoid the difficult conversations. Churches tend to avoid the difficult conversations. If we're to ever honestly confront and embrace the Jesus expectations of being his followers and serious faith communities where everyone is welcomed and accepted and loved and not judged, we'll have to have some honest, confessional, emotional, and life-changing conversations. That's where Jesus began and ended with this woman of Samaria. His affirmation and encouragement gave her the new boldness to take this good news of her encounter with him back to her village so that those who had written off her worthlessness and being of no value could see that there had been a change. Everybody has a story. Every church is a community of unique and diverse stories. No two is the same, yet everyone can contribute to the authentic message of God's love and acceptance, which is modeled here when we gather, and it should be modeled out there where we live and work every day, out there, where many are wondering if there is any hope for them when all they experience is judgment and hopelessness. You might just meet one of those persons this week where you shop or eat, walk, exercise, volunteer, in your daily routine of life. That's what Jesus encouraged us to do when he said, when we go into all the world to be a witness, do it in your daily routine. Don't contrive it or make up some way to do it. Just be yourself and listen to the stories of others as well. In other words, be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Let me end where I began. Helping one person might not change the world, but it could change the world for one person. Amen and amen.